All right, Jude 8. Let's go ahead and just read down through here some of this stuff. This is the book that I call the Acts of the Apostates. All right, the Acts of the Apostates. Have you got that one, brother?
Yes, I
do. All right. Okay, Jude is the half-brother of Jesus Christ, by the way. He was one of his brothers. And the name Jude is incorrect. His name should be called Judah. And Judas is the same name. I don't understand why King James could not get the names right when they translated King James. And it has followed every translation since. They went off on the left foot, or the wrong foot, or you want to call it, and they have colored all other translations. The name Jude, is the name Judah, okay? Judah, which means the praise of God, or the praise of Yah or Jehovah. His name should be Judah, the Epistle of Judah. And this was Jesus' brother. And Judas, the name Judas, is also Judah. So they've got the same name in 10 different ways in the New Testament. It's the same different names.
J-U-D-A-H?
Yes, J-U-D-A-H is the way it should be. It's Judah, the book of Judah. All right? It's a Hebrew name, and it is the praise of, it's one of the sons of Jacob. Remember, Judah was one of those sons. Well, this is where that name comes from. Judah, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to whom those was called, beloved in God, the Father, and it says, guarded or kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I'm reading from New American Standard, by the way, I felt the absolute necessity, and I'm commenting on it, for it needs it, by the way, I felt bindingly necessary to write to you, appealing to you to contend earnestly for the system of teaching which was once and for all delivered to the saints. The word there is faith, but it means the system of teaching. You can put the word denomination there if you want to. You can put the word Baptist there if you want to. Because that's exactly what it's talking about. It's not talking about the faith, the saving faith. This is talking about the system of teaching. Remember, here a while back in church history, I taught you the 11 essential elements of the New Testament church. By the way, the guy that I got that from is on the internet, and he's teaching it on there, Boyd Chastain. That's the teacher that provided. Of course, I revised it since I heard him teach it, but if you want to hear it from the original source, you can listen to Boyd Chastain on the website there, under Sermons of the Week. The system of teaching, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. The word once is a box. It means one time only. Jesus only founded one church. One type of church. We did not need the Protestant Reformation. We did not need the Catholicism. We did not need Mohammed. We did not need any cults, isms, no Jehovah's Witnesses, no Seventh-day Adventists, no Mormons, no nothing. God's church was the one that He founded, and He called out during His ministry, and He promised it that He would be with it until the end of the time. Until the end times that we're talking about, to the end of this church age. And I don't care how much Harold Camping says the church age is over. And we're still in the church age because the rapture hasn't taken place yet. All right? This system of teaching. Verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked, enrolled. Now, if you want to cross-reference this to Ephesians, the first chapter, it's very good. God set aside people for the recipients of salvation because He knew in time and space how that they would respond to their volition. But there are people in this world that are going to respond to Satan the same way.
Every false religious system, every demonic religion in this world, I mean demonic, you know what keeps people in Jehovah's Witnesses? Demons and demon power. How about Mormonism? Demonic and demon power. How about Buddha? What makes somebody bow down and kiss his Buddha's foot and rub his belly? It is power in those statues, and that power is from the other world, the underworld. Is there power in a rock that somebody would set down and worship and kiss? Is there power in those stairs over there in the Vatican that they crawl up on with broken glass and cut their knees and their hands to pieces? Is there power in that? Yes. Demonic power. It says here, according to the book of Jude, and I got the book of Enoch the other day too. Joe found a whole bunch of books and gave them to me, about 200 of them that he had stacked back in the closet. Didn't even know they were there. I had a ball in that. I stayed up all night.
Those were your books.
Okay. Yeah. They were gobs of them. Anyway, and all of my Sunday school quarterlies and everything, it was great. Still great. I'm working on D.H. Pember's Earth's Earliest Ages right now. But as people go to these false religious systems, ancestor worship, we just had Memorial Day. You have to really be careful. It's nice to respect our ancestors. It's nice to respect our family. But we don't go out there and pray to them. Because that's what Buddhists do. That is not something that you do. They are dead. They're gone. They're in the hands of God. You can have memory. I mean, the most precious person that ever was in this world to me was my grandmother. But she is in the hands of God. I pray that she was saved. One of my friends, ministers, went up there and dealt with her as she was dying the last week of her life when she was run over by a car. I love that woman. And I go out and I clean her grave up every year or two and I tell my children that was my mother, the woman that raised me. But as far as praying to her and everything like that, I mean, far remove that from you, because that can become wrong. That can become spiritually wrong, because it is a whole religion that's based upon it, Buddhism. We watched, had some company over this last Friday and Saturday, I think, and my wife turned on something on television the other day, and this was a temple in India where they were worshiping rats. And if you wanted to have real good luck, you went out there in that temple where those rats had been and went poopy and wee-wee all this food, and you ate that food, and that would give you good luck. Now talk about wicked foolishness. That is nuts. But is there power? There's power in it. It's power in false religion. That's what this book is talking about here. Is this anything new? No, it was the Jews' day too. Judah. Some are marked out for condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness. The word licentiousness there is aselgia. That's the word aselgia. Aselgia. Unbridled lust. Unbridled lust. People don't even try to. The Spirit of God that lives in you, when you're born again, if you do wrong, you have problems with the Lord, don't you? God hates sin. That's the reason why hell was created. For to house, that's God's file 13. Alright? When you sin after you're saved, God convicts you and you want to do right, you feel bad. If you, if Dakota was to come up to me and call me all kinds of bad names, you'd feel real bad, wouldn't you, Dakota? Because you love me, huh? And you got mad and you called me a whole bunch of bad names, you feel bad about it because the love would constrain you. If my wife would get off on the wrong foot and say something bad to me, she'd come back and say, I'm sorry. If I say something bad to her because of love, constrains me to do that, I say, I'm sorry. We do that because we love each other in this physical world. We really care for each other. But we ought to care the same way and even in a more eternal fashion, God, when we offend Him. We do. We need to say we're sorry. Last sentence then, deny our only master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Deny our only master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, through, you know all things once for all, that same word again, once for all, Jesus Christ once forever told them the right way. Did you know that? If you want to know God's will for your life, this is the book where the instructions are found. There is no guesswork about it. Mary Baker Eddy in the Christian Science Group, Ellen White in the Seventh-day Adventurist, you know, every one of these people have another way, a new life. And some even the new lighters among missionary Baptists, they got a new light. Turned on the light bulb. Like Ford had a better idea. You know? Some people think that they have a new idea. Ellen White woke up one day and said that there's a great controversy in history that mankind had once and for all walked away from the God of heaven because they didn't worship Him on Saturday. That the Sabbath was profaned. Brethren, the Sabbath was done away with in the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. The Sabbath is always going to be Saturday. Today, Sunday, is not the Sabbath. I don't care how many people tell you that. It's not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath, but the Sabbath has been abolished. It has been abolished. It's done with. It's over with. She said it had been profaned. Well, she started a whole religion because of it. And the thing about it is they started doctor schools and universities. And it has tainted and stained a great part of the medical profession. They have some truths in there. Did you know that most people should not eat near as much meat as they do? And the Seventh-day Adventists are the longest-lived people among any religion and denomination. Did you know that? Well, mostly because they're doctors. They know more about health. Doctors and nurses.
One of Count Pacey's a nurse. Yeah. She eats like that. She's a little bit of chicken.
Mm-hmm. I eat a little bit. That's good sense. Common sense. Adam in the Garden of Eden didn't eat any meat. And he would have lived forever. Also, but he had the tree of life, too. Mm-hmm. We're studying that on Wednesday night. We're right there at the tree of life right now. That's what we studied last Wednesday night. But that religion won't stand and walk. I mean, Paul says, don't worry about what you're sticking down your throat. Worry about what's coming in your mind and in your heart. Jesus said to the Pharisees, don't worry about washing your hands. Don't worry about washing the outside of a pot. What goes in a man is not what defiles him, but what goes out of him. Wickedness. I desire you to remind you that you know all things once for all that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, consequently, and as the end result, destroyed those who did not believe. You know that there are members in churches that are not saved? There are church members in this church right here at Valley Baptist Church in Bakersfield, California, that are not saved. And some of these church members, if you don't, I mean, I've had trouble with them in my Sunday school classes. Sometimes I had to run them off. Because they are doctrinally unsound. They are lost people with a little bit of religion that are trying to bring Unitarianism and everything else in this church. And we've had problems with it. That's one of the reasons why we went to the doctrinal statements that we did about a year ago or something with Roger. Because we have problems with this. And we haven't got shut it and shuck it loose yet. And I don't care, any church that tries to preach the truth is going to have trouble with these people bringing in Mormonism, Unitarianism, Universalism, and Mormonism, and Buddhism. If they bring it from the religions and they try to marry it with truth, it doesn't work. It happened back in Judah's day, in Jesus' day. God had to kill a bunch of those that came out of Egypt because they did not believe. They were not worthy to walk into the promised land. They weren't saved. And, you know, the Bible talks about them and names them, doesn't it? Number six. And angels who did not keep their own administration. Their own house. Their own place of service. Their own domain. But abandon their proper abode, angels that are created beings. I'm studying Earth's Earliest Ages by G.H. Pimmer. He goes into this. This is a very great book and writing. He talks about this period of time right here. In the original creation of God, God created a material universe, and He created angels. And He created a sphere or an administration or a domain of angels that were over the material creation of God. Bill, how many customers do you go see?
8 to 10 a day.
8 to 10 a day. Are you the only salesman with your company?
No. In this town.
In this town. They've got some in other towns. Okay. Well, your domain is Bakersfield then. And probably the surrounding areas. All right, you stay within that group. Brother Norm now, he's all over the whole country, Canada and every place else chasing around rabbits. But this is your domain of your company. This is where you're supposed, this is your estate. That's who you're supposed to take care of. Now, my wife's estate is our home. She is in charge of that. And she is constantly telling me to pick up this and pick up that and to go to pick up this and pick up that. She's the boss. Are you the boss too? Now, get over here, pick this up, do this, do that. I want this in order. Somebody has to keep things in order, don't they? That's right. Why, even McDonald's has somebody over the restrooms. They do. Their estate. Their domain. All right? Now, in this eternal age is behind us, there were angels that were set over the material realm of God and they rebelled against God. They did a lot of damage to the universe. Did you know that? They did a lot of damage to the universe. Who is the God of this age, by the way? It's called the God of this world, but actually it should be translated the God of this age. Satan. He's the one that rebelled. All right? Some of those angels were so bad, and I believe they might have come from Michael's realm, because one third of the angels rebelled against God. I don't think they all came from the material realm that were over, say, Lucifer that was over. I think that some of his are still over the material realm of God. And those may be your guardian angels. All right? Because they're over the material realm of God. A guardian angel would be over something material, wouldn't he? All right. So
maybe some of Satan's angels, or Lucifer's angels, as he was known at that time, are still doing God's work and doing God's will. Some of them came out of Gabriel's, the messengers, those in the field of communication. I have a what we call a bachelor's of science degree in communication, electronics, and I used to give tests to people that would go out and get their FCC license and things to communicate or work on electronic equipment and everything. I was one of the people that gave them tests, and I still do that occasionally. That, you went through that test here about a year or so ago, Ken. Never can remember your call sign. You get a certified call sign when you go through there. And that call sign depicts what grade of license that you have. And there. Well, areas of domain service. We have Lucifer, we have Gabriel, and we have Michael. Now, what realm is Michael over? What? The spiritual realm. Spiritual realm of God. Unless you're Harold Camping and you might have all messed up. He thinks Gabriel and Michael both were Jesus. I'm not kidding. Boy, I talk about a mess. That man's got messed up theology real good. Anyway, I believe some out of Gabriel's and some out of Michael's realm both were swayed by Lucifer. And I think the most powerful angels in the world, who, when God calls upon somebody to defend what his spiritual kingdom, who usually does the defending for him?
Michael.
So they're very powerful angels. I believe the most powerful angels that rebelled against God were some out of Michael's realm. And those angels are so powerful that they will not be turned loose on this earth until this tribulation period right here. It talks about it in the book of Revelation. Okay?
Well, you know, you're seeing today good being called bad and bad good, whether it's governments or whatever. In the United Nations, our nation, founded on God, is being put down as, of course, the evil nation. Anything a Christian is put down as evil.
Even, now I don't know how you could walk two different ways at the same time, but we have a nation here, it's called, the nation calls itself one nation under God. In all of the studies and the school systems, we are teaching our children that there isn't a God. Now, you're going to be sowing and reaping, you're going to have problems with that situation. That's wrong. Even heathen religions like Islam at least teach their children that there is a God. That's how they get them to fight for that system. And that's why they say we're so bad, is because here we say we're a Christian nation, and yet look what we let go on our televisions, and look what we teach in our schools, which is hypocrisy, isn't it? In all reality. I mean, the world looks at us. The world looks at us and say, what hypocrites. They do. It's a terrible situation. You have to live in that.
Well, that's government.
Yes.
It's half government. Yeah. They don't have people.
Yeah.
There's such a demand for evolutionary teaching. And you can't have a godly thing and have evolution at the same time.
No.
When a school board or school district comes up and teaches creationist theory, you get bombed. I mean, they bring in import people from all over. And they cannot let this happen. They've got to teach evolution.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The reason, there's one thing, there's one master plan behind it all, and that's the plan of Satan.
Sure.
And we're part of it. This nation is part of that master plan.
To let it happen.
Yeah. Allow it to happen. That's the way it's programmed to happen. That's why we're in the end times. We're in the end times. It's all programmed. There is nothing in this world that you can do about it except to teach your own family.
You are the person that is responsible to teach your children the ways of God, and you're supposed to live it and teach it. That's what you can do. Because the time to get to university level, you're going to be out there with a bunch of heathens. You know, a heathen is worse than a heathen.
I think these people heard the word heathens.
In the schools of higher education. Believe it or not. It says, the angels who do not keep their own place of service, but abandon their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Here's that great day again, brother. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as those indulged in gross immorality, went after strange flesh, different flesh. This is talking about homosexuals. I was listening to Tim Sullivan teach. I'm gonna put him on the internet too, on the sermon of the week. He was teaching about education. I had him do this 20 years ago. You remember when Tim Sullivan came and preached there at the church 20 years ago? He was talking about this very thing. He said, we call them gay people today. He said, they're gay. They're queers. That's what they are. They're real queer because they're strange. They're out of bounds. The alternative lifestyle that they're teaching our children that is okay in schools is not okay. It is a queer lifestyle. Men and women are supposed to mate with the opposite sex. Same-sex marriages are not okay. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that. How many times does God have to say something He doesn't like something? We're in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter right now, and real soon God is going to make some real pointed statements about homosexuality. He's not talking about dogs.
How is it they have all these homosexual priests?
They've got homosexual priests. They've got homosexual... Yeah. It's ungodly. It is not of God. God, well, God made the human race to progenerate. Homosexuals don't have kids unless they have someone from the opposite sex to bring it about. It is wrong. It is unnatural. Romans, the first chapter, tells you that. How wicked and unnatural and how perverse and crooked and demonic. Homosexuality is demonic. Demonic. That's what it's talking about here, and that's what it's talking. God gave them over. Gave them up. Because they wouldn't listen to Him. How many of you ever known, have ever had queers grow up in your Sunday school classes, and so on and so forth, and go to church, and reject the truth, and go but this way? I have. I've seen it many times. Brother Norm.
Well, you know, I was talking here about a month or two ago about a police investigator, and what they found in their interviewing and their information that the people applying to the police, they had to give a statement on bestiality. And this is an enormous thing that you don't even think about. You were dealing with homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this goes another step further.
Yes.
Having sex with beasts.
Yes. All of that is here.
And he said what is out there, what is revealed, is absolutely shocking to the lie detector test that they give. This has got to be really bad.
It is real bad. That's why it was real bad, and I'll tell you something. God did not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because it was the worst place on the earth. There were places just as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was not the worst place on the earth. Probably San Francisco. I mean, really, Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if it wasn't the worst place?
Or the worst place that would ever be.
Why? Why did God rapture Enoch and Elijah? Examples. To give us an example of what he hated. Had there been people that were as bad as the people that lived in the pre-diluvian days? All right. What do we mean by pre-diluvian? You remember that one, Brother Bill? Pre-diluvian.
No, I was just reading what it was.
Okay, that's before the flood.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Before the flood. They were bad people before the flood, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Heaven, why didn't God destroy the earth by flood again?
He
put a rainbow and promised not to do it. But have there been as bad a people on this earth since the flood?
Yes.
He divided the earth. Why hasn't God divided the earth up in smaller continents? Because God made one statement of an example as a type. We're going to teach types too. We're going to teach them a little bit of this morning. God has not destroyed but one Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities thereof. I think it was five cities that were destroyed. Probably in the Dead Sea area someplace there. By the way, they have reached down in with the core drilling. You know what core drilling is, brother. And they have taken up core samples out of that. I mean, Walt West was a good friend of mine. Worked for Marathon Oil Company. And he said they went thousands of feet in the ground. And they uncovered pottery and clay that was just melted. And the atomic energy that melted was still active there. God zapped that place with his atomic fingers. Zit. I mean, he burned her down. He burned her down because of this wickedness, sexual sins, perversion, and homosexuality. God says, I hate it. And gave one example of it and killed all of them. One time. That's all God has to say that he doesn't like something is one time. And he gave us an example. God did not like the way that man were going in the days before the flood, so he flooded the earth and killed everybody one time as an example of his hate for that sin. God divided the earth and confounded the languages one time because it was an example of his hatred for sin.
The north. Going back to this word lasciviousness, these people then and now are doing this with no more impunity than drinking Pepsi-Cola.
Well, they think it's all right. Everybody says it. Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing
it's
it.
All right.
That's
it's okay.
Definition for lasciviousness.
That's all. It's all. They want to have restrained flesh and are exhibited as an example. See what I just said? God exhibited them as an example because he killed them all. He burned them down. He just took them right straight from the earth right into hell. In an undergoing of the punishment of eternal fire. Number 8, where he asked me, how we've led up to this question. All right? And we couldn't really understand the question of who's speaking, who's he speaking to, what's the subject, what's the time element. We've understood a lot of things, I hope. In these verses today. Yet in the same manner, these men, who? Apostates. These people that have stood away from the truth. These people that have crept into churches. Churches. Everybody, every person in Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities thereof had heard the gospel at one time or another. And they had descended as descendants from Adam and the three sons of Noah. Hadn't they? Did they have the truth? But if they had apostatized, what does the word apostasy mean?
Drifting away.
It means to stand away from. It means to stand away from. Now, before you can stand away from something, you have to know what you're standing away from, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to knowingly leave and stand away from something. What are they standing away from?
God.
Got one person in my own family. I saw him grow up in church. I saw him, he was a glory seeker. And I saw him grow up and hear the truth, so-called make a profession of faith, and then stand away from it and become so wicked in homosexuality, in gay bars and all of this wickedness to no nth degree. The language and the filth and the mind and his reputation among them is a leader in this gay movement. Did he hear the truth? Most assuredly. Did he stand away from the truth? Most assuredly. That's the ones that are condemned stronger than the others. The more truth that you hear, the more you're responsible for. Did you know that? God will not hold near into account some native in the darkest parts of the Amazon that has not heard much of the truth, and only all they know about God is what God has shown them through creation. Everybody that's ever been born into this world knows that there is a God. You have to stand away from God and deny Him. There is no person in the world, in any culture, anywhere, that really originally denied the existence of the Creator. Romans, the first chapter. I mean, you can look at your own hands and watch yourself heal from wounds and things and know that there was a Creator that caused that. How many of you have a toy rabbit or a toy dog or a doll when you were little? How many of you ever got cut or the seams broke on it and the stuffing started getting out and it fell apart, and as it got older and older it just kept disintegrating? It didn't heal itself like your wounds do, did it? You didn't have quite as good a creator as you had. I've said this a lot of times. Boy, if somebody could invent a car that would fix itself. Change his own oil, and like you do, all you have to do is go up and put gas in it and pour oil in a reservoir and it take care of itself. Boy, wouldn't that be something? You could get millions of dollars from one car, Fernando. And never wear out, just keep on going for 70 years. You can get a high dollar for that car. And yet in the same manner, these men, also by dreaming what? Dreaming up false religions. That's what it is. Joseph Smith, the father of Mormonism, dreamed that the angel Moroni came to him and handed these golden plates with reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics on, that only he could read with looking through these feet stones. He dreamed it. Ellen White dreamed that the great controversy of the ages was that people were not keeping the law, and that they had done away with the Sabbath, and that the Christian church had gone wrong by worshiping on Sunday. Roman Catholicism evolved from 251 A.D. when she got power in the church at Rome, and she evolved into a monster. Charles Taze Russell, the father of the Jehovah's Witnesses, says people didn't study the Scriptures carefully and that God had revealed to him that he was a great Hebrew and Greek scholar, and that he was setting straight the doctrines that had been abused all down through the ages, and one of the greatest doctrines that he wanted to set straight is that Jesus was not God. Well, he dreamed the dream, and it was a dream that was supernatural, but it came right straight out of hell. Right straight out of hell. We've got people down through the ages, and some of the people that founded this nation that believed in the universal brotherhood of mankind, and that all you had to do was give a man a good environment, and he would just get better and better and better and better, and people would finally get so good that God would just have to say, "Oh, can I walk in here and stay here with you?" Why, the Southern Baptist Convention at one time was so weird in the first part of this century, that they said, "Give us $6 million and we'll evangelize the world and we'll bring in the kingdom of God. We'll bring in the kingdom of God. We will have the kingdom of God on earth because we will have evangelized the whole world." Well, after World War I and World War II, they finally figured that was just something was doctrinally, hermeneutically wrong with that exegesis, exegetical idea. And a whole convention had gone after it. Well, can churches go the wrong way? Can you step and go the wrong way? God gives us plenty of examples. We're talking about our own self, aren't we? These men, by dreaming, defile the flesh. You can make your body a temple of Satan if you go to the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism. A dwelling place for demons. You go into Buddhism, and I guarantee you, you're going to see powers and you're going to see things that, if you don't understand, that's not in the natural world, it's supernatural. What supernatural thing does that? I got a tape from Joe the other day. They found a whole lot of my tapes in boxes. Some of my first, second, and third sermon I think I ever preached was on this. Boy, I was terrible, brother. I couldn't preach enough. It was terrible. But God was blessing it. If a frog could croak the gospel, God would bless it. I couldn't even listen to them either. Your sermon was great, by the way. It's fine. Don't worry about that.
I'm croaking.
I listen to this, but I listen to a guy. I turned it on for my wife to listen to, and I can almost say every word that this guy said. His name was Dr. Glover. And it was preached in 1960, the sermon was. Before the Assembly of God and Pentecostal churches and the whole Los Angeles Basin, all of, they had a great big convention down there in Los Angeles. And Angelus Temple was the place where one of the greatest Assembly of God Pentecostal churches was. That, you know, the Azusa Street Revival and all that, this is where all this cropped up. One of their preachers, Assembly of God preachers, had gone to a seminary. And he had learned the Word of God. And he had stood up there in Angelus Temple and tried to educate these preachers. They had gone to this seminar. Why speaking in tongues as they did was not according to the Word of God. And that miracles were not for this age. They were for the age of the making of the New Testament. He had learned these things. They kicked him from out. Dr. Glover stood up there and he said, "I'm going to tell you something. You don't need to be educated by men. You let the Spirit speak to you. You better watch out what Spirit's speaking." Because the Bible says that we are to be educated by the Word of God through the Spirit. Paul says, and Jesus told his disciples
He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. You'll all know what you're supposed to say when you get up there and preach. And of course, he got up there and he got these people going. He got up there and he'd say, sick them to them. You know, he'd get up there and he'd start talking in tongues. You heard him talking in tongues. He got up there, and I mean, it sounded like a din. This whole place was just roaring. It'd make your hair stand on you. I got this tape and let her listen to it. It'd give you spooks, didn't it? It was pure emotion. Nothing from the Word of God, using the name of God, but leading people away from the truth. And telling them, don't learn the Word of God. Don't worry about studying the Word of God. Read a verse and pray and let God enlighten you. And this is the same school as hyper-Calvinism is. And the most great example of hyper-Calvinism to the extreme is Harold Camping. He doesn't interpret the Bible as we're interpreting it here. He has it set there. He knows that the Bible has a spiritual meaning, not a literal meaning. When you have a license to spiritualize away the Scriptures, what do? You don't believe the Bible. You can say, I believe the Bible, but if you try to spiritualize it away, then you don't believe the Bible, do you? The book of Revelation. Yet in the same manner, these men, by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority. What authority? Jesus' authority in His Word. He told His church, before He left this earth, He said, I have all authority, where? In heaven and upon earth. And I give this authority to you, and you do what? As you're gone, as you've been carried out into the world, what are you supposed to do? Make disciples, baptizing those disciples, and teaching them what I've handed to you, these Scriptures. And lo, I'll be with you until the end of the age. I keep saying this over and over again. God did not need John Calvin or Martin Luther. He did not need Charles Taze Russell. He didn't need Mary Ellen or Mary Baker Eddy or Ellen White or any of these people. Joseph Smith. These are not prophets of God. These are prophets of doom. And every one of them keeps some little area of truth to get people involved in it. But they lead them astray. Reject authority and revile angelic magistrates. What's it talking about? There's war in heaven. Every time that you see a war on earth, there's a war in heaven. Read the book of Daniel. Read the book of Daniel where it talks about angelic forces. Daniel prayed to God to give to him and to reveal to him what those dreams meant that God was giving him. And he prayed, and God heard his prayer the first time, and God sent His messenger to reveal to him these truths. And who was that messenger? Gabriel. All right? And what hindered Gabriel from getting to Daniel? Lucifer. And who whipped Lucifer and angel hair and feathers flew?
Michael.
All right. Is there angelic controversy? Is there? Is it real? Are there real guardian angels? Are there real fallen angels? Are there demon spirits working in the world of religion today? The acts of the apostates. What does the word acts mean? The acts. The deeds. The working. The working of those that have stood away from God. The workings of those that have stood away from God. Look at that. Verse 9. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses. Why, what do you think would have happened, Norm, if Israel had still had the body of Moses today?
That's right. They worshiped the law of Moses and rejected the lawgiver, didn't they? What would they have done if they had the bones of Moses? Well, you know that the bones of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all of them are over there in the cave of Machpelah. They're fighting over that mess over there right now. They're right there. I've been there. They're there in the cave of Machpelah. And Sarah is buried in that cave. You can go over there and see where all of them... But what if Israel had had the body of Moses? Who do you think was wanting the body of Moses? False religion. Who was behind the false religion? But Michael the Archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord, Jehovah, rebukes you." He didn't rebuke him on his own part, but he rebuked him because of the authority that God had given him.
You know, the Catholic Church is very bad about worshiping relics. That there's no ounce of material possession creation in this world that should claim our allegiance or our worship. Even if we saw the cross that Jesus was buried on,
was crucified on.
It's just a piece of wood. And when we're in heaven a million years from now, that cross means nothing. That's a mere relic.
The person on that cross is the one worth worshiping.
Absolutely.
The blood, the drops of blood, dried blood, they say that were left on the cross, and the drops of dried blood that were left on that ring where Jesus was tied, and actually Constantine the Great's mother had the whole steps in the Praetorium taken and put in Rome. And that's there in the Vatican today. Those very steps. And they say that's where the blood of Jesus was. I don't agree with that, because I believe the blood of Jesus Christ, every last drop of it was taken to heaven and put on the altar there. I don't think anything was left behind, because it was holy blood. It was holy blood. God took it and put it on that real ark of our covenant. That's where that blood was spilled. That's where it is today, on that ark of the covenant. But these men revile the things which they do not understand. The things which they know by instinct like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. People worship animals. We saw them on television worshiping rats. Dakota, you remember those rats?
Yeah.
People were praying to those rats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw
Animal
Planet people in India worshiping
poisonous
snakes.
Yeah, they worship snakes. Mm-hmm. A snake is a direct representative of what?
Satan.
Nah. How do you say it in Hebrew?
Nahash.
All right. People in India worship cows. They're starving to death over there, and they won't eat a cow. Why won't they eat a cow?
Be an ancestor.
It could be one of their ancestors. These people over there in India where these rats are that we saw in this temple, they said those were the little children that died. The spirits of the little children that died in the village are in these rats. And there were 30,000 rats in this temple at any known time. 30,000 rats! And people waiting on these rats hand and foot. That's demonic. There are people that dedicate their whole lives to live in temples in a celibate manner. That means without going, without mating with the opposite sex. They do that with men, sex with the colon. They spend their whole lives in absolute futility and damn themselves by doing this. Paul said, "Let no man tell you what to eat or what not to eat, what day to worship on, or what to marry or not to marry." And in 1123 AD, what did the Catholic Church do?
Forced their priests to go celibate, and that was the beginning of this problem that we're experiencing today, because it didn't begin today or 50 years ago. It appeared in 1123 A.D., and it has played havoc with that group of unbelievers ever since. And they are unbelievers, because if they believe the Word of God, they wouldn't do that. When you go contrary to the Scriptures and reveal law and revealed authority of God, what happens? You're in trouble. You might get people to listen to you. You might get people to follow you. But you're spiritually in trouble, Dakota. What was that? Oh, the snake? Yeah. Decorated it, huh? People do. There are people here in the United States, you don't have to go to India to do that. You go down the south where those hyper-Pentecostals are, and they're handling snakes. They're handling snakes, venomous snakes. Some of them die. Some of them get bit, some of them die. If they don't get bit, I think the reason why they don't get bit is not the power of God, but the power of Satan. Because these people, this is a religion, but it is leading people away from God. But I let my wife listen to this Dr. Glover in this sermon he preached in 1960. That man was leading these people away from God, but in the name of God. Why, I remember when the Jehovah's Witnesses built that super assembly hall out there on Brundage Lane. All the collar people from all over the United States were never going to build this, and the coming of the Lord was at hand. They were going to stop all their little assembly halls all over, and they were going to build this big one, and they would commune right there. And this is, therefore, they were going to follow God. The Lord was supposed to come back in 1978. That was the end of time. It was 75 or 78. I can't remember now. That was the end of time. And then when that time came and gone, what they said, well, really, the Lord did come back. This the world, the end of the world really didn't happen, but Jesus, actually what he did is he came to the Watchtower headquarters, and he's living in the headquarters in New York. And he's ruling his kingdom from the Watchtower headquarters. And that's why they don't want to go to the heaven, but they want to go to the kingdom. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get into heaven if you are in the kingdom if you don't know Jesus and who he really is. Thank you for your attention today. I hope you were enlightened from this study in the little book of Jude. We'll translate this little thing and go back over it again on Wednesday night if you want to come to that. And thank you so much for your attention and being here. Remember the prayer request that we've had. Remember Sister Black and your prayers. And Brother Ken, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?
Thank you, Father God, so much for this morning and for your word and for abilities you give us and the training you've given us in the word so we can learn and understand what you have for us. I pray, Lord God, we just be able to use this information to learn today to tell others about you and further your kingdom, Lord. Help us always to remember you and keep us from being led astray by the world. Always following you and your word. Bless this time we have in this next service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.